Our scripture reading this morning from the Hebrew Testament is from Psalm 105, only 4 verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. And then from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. We have now listened to our scripture reading, and may it be that we can sense God's presence as we delve deeper and think over what we have just heard. My friends, adversity and storms are a part of your and my daily lives. Most often problems come our way without us even asking for it. Tropical Storm Fay reminded us that our plans and our schedules could easily change without prior notice and without our own doing. This past week, when I wanted to get out to our church people, the kids from next door were rowing a boat right outside our door in the street, and the pool from behind made its way into our home. So things do happen without prior notice, and you just have to be prepared for them. But just listen to what happened at a recent performance of a famous orchestra. One of the movements featured a flute solo that was to be played as if coming from a distance, far off stage. So the conductor very enthusiastically instructed the flutist to stand way off stage. And there he was to count the measures precisely in order to come in at the exact time, since the conductor and the soloist would not be able to see each other. So on the performance night, when the time came for the flute solo, the flutist counted and began exactly at the right moment. The fine, lilting notes floated out beautifully. But then it happened. Suddenly there was a pinching, sour note, and the soloist fell silent for the rest of the piece. You can imagine, the conductor was outraged, and at the end of the performance, he rushed off the stage to find the poor flutist. And the poor flutist was still white, ashen-faced. He was still trembly. And when he saw the enraged conductor, he said, "Maestro, maestro, before you say anything, let me tell you what happened. But really, I don't think you're going to believe it. You know, I came in with my flute accurately. Everything was going beautifully, when suddenly a bulky, enormous stagehand ran up, grabbed away my flute, pushed me back saying, 'Quiet, you idiot. Don't you know there's a concert going on in there?'" You see, in spite of all the preparation, the unforeseen still happened. In this area, of course, we felt a little like that poor flutist who suddenly lost his violin when Tropical Storm Fay crossed our daily routines and our paths. Now the scripture reading today tells us how to be ready, not so much disaster preparedness as we heard all morning, but to be spiritually disaster prepared. When life's storms and hurricanes come our way, not through the weather, but through so different many other avenues. Now Jesus, when concluding his magnificent Sermon on the Mount, stated that your life and my life, in order to be durable, should have a foundation as solid as rock. Now friends, Jesus is the master storyteller, I believe, of all ages. For simplicity, directness, and graphic power, his stories are unmatched outside the teachings of Jesus. And I believe that no one who has read the parable and truly thought over the story of the two houses will easily forget it. Because indeed, there is so much truth in this. You and I are building, each one of us, our very own building, namely our lives. And the foundations of life consist on the ground upon which you and I build. Jesus said, either you build your life on rock or you build it on sand. And there is no third option given to us. And in the first example, Jesus said that a wise man came and built a house on rock. He was a prudent man. He was an intelligent man. Now, it was not a solitary little rock, not even one small cluster of rocks, but we get the impression more of something like a large cliff, a sort of a mountain, a firm mountain. And then the master storyteller mentions another type of soil. This time it is sand. He said, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And now I let my imagination go a little bit and I thought, well, this foolish builder maybe had in his mind thinking, well, I'm going to save some time. I'll save some money, and above all, because he was lazy, I'll save my energy in putting my house right here where the ground is already flat. Now, obviously, there are some sharp differences between these two builders pictured by Jesus. One of the builders, the wise one, looked around him or her and planned and thought the whole thing over. He was determined, I'm going to build a house. I'm going to make it worthwhile. I'm going to build it in such a way that it would never become necessary to reconstruct my house. So after all, he was not only thinking of the immediate joy of moving in, he was also calculating and thinking of all the tomorrows that were still to come. Certainly, surely, we know that it did take more time for him to dig deep into that rock and to lay a solid foundation. It must have taken him much, much longer than it would have taken others. But it appears in the story that his work did pay off in the end. And that was the result of all his planning. That was exactly what the wise builder had in mind. I'm building a house. Maybe this one time only, I'm building one to endure, to last. And now we can imagine the other one, the foolish builder. And apparently he was someone who lived from day to day. And maybe he thought, as long as it satisfies my needs for now, as long as it's good for the moment, I will not be bothered about the future. And I think Tinka and I can talk because we had four teenage sons at the same time growing up in our house. And we remember how difficult it was to keep all of them in school. Because by 10th grade, they all knew everything that they needed to know in life. And they were ready to go out and make the big bucks. And I remember endless discussions and arguments and pleas. And finally, well, not immediately, for some of them it took longer than the others. But finally they came around and they realized, no, that was not the way to build your future. I think this lazy builder was not bothered about the far future. Maybe he was more concerned about the big bucks right away. And I can just imagine that he told his friends, let's eat, let's drink, let's be merry, for tomorrow we may just die. Isn't that the way they argue? Why worry about tomorrow? Let me enjoy the moment of the day. Now it's worthwhile to follow the train of thought of Jesus, because he makes us look at the two houses. And when finished, you will be surprised. There was no difference. Jesus did not tell us that one of them looked like a jury-rigged contraption, a shack or a lean-to, while the other looked like a mansion. From what we can tell, outwardly, they both looked the same. And now we know, we understand there was a difference. There was a huge difference. The difference was in the foundation. Choice, says the proverb, not chance, determines human destiny. The foundation on which we choose to build our lives determines our future. Many lives are built on shaky soil and end up to be an unstable life. I think we all know that. I need not explain. Sometimes you meet a people outward so finished, so beautiful, so bright the smile. But as you get to know one another better, when you begin to discuss life, thinking, planning, you discover, but there's not much deep in there. It is so superficial. Oh yes, they laugh out loud, but inside they can be so quiet. And often, and that is the privilege and maybe the burden of many a servant of God's word, often you meet up with them. Maybe after a city funeral, maybe after a great sadness, and then they come and you discover that they are shaking like a leaf in the wind, all dressed up, but nowhere to go with their pain, with their sorrow, for their lack of understanding why this great thing, bad thing happened in my life. The foundations of your life and mine consist of the ground on which we build. Whether you are a teenager, an adult, or a senior citizen, you are always building on a foundation. You are always planning ahead, and if you have your life ahead of you, or whether the time is getting short, yes, we do think. Yes, we do plan ahead. Jesus is talking about something that all of us know very well. He's talking about the storms of life confronting no exception, every human being, you and me. And Jesus then explained how suddenly this storm came. He said that the suddenness of the storm surprised both the wise man and the foolish one. You see, it matters not your educational background, your place of position or prestige in life. Truth is that life storms eventually confront each and every one of us. I believe that if you and I could speak freely today, if we had the time in this sanctuary, just to tell others about the storms that we had endured in our lives, we will develop a new love, a new understanding, and a new appreciation for one another like never before. Yes, we know storms. You may be upper class, middle class, low class, or no class. Storms are no respecters of persons. And Jesus also described the intensity of the storm. And you can literally hear it in the way that he says it. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And it sounds so familiar for many of us. Yes, we are not exempt from the storms of life. They are so much a part of life as breathing, for all of us, no exceptions. But we have discovered one thing. Oh, I have discovered in my early life that there is a rock on which I could build. And I wasn't always faithful standing on that rock. I remember trembling on that rock. I remember also being blown off that rock many times, especially in my young life. But one thing is for sure. That foundation, that rock, never, ever trembled under me. All the materials one uses in building are important. The brick, the cinder block, the wood, the nails. However, the material is not as important as the foundation. And friends, that is the great comfort of this story. That is the message that you and I need to hear for the so manyth time or for the first time. Because it tells me that the stability of my life does not rest on my own weak physical frame, but it rests on the rock itself, on the rock of ages. And I can stand on that rock, and that rock will tremble under me. And I will tremble on that rock will never, ever give way under me. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's saying, are you taking credit? No, friend. No, friend. Look deeper. Look at these two houses. The credit goes to the foundation. The credit goes to the rock. And that is what the teachings of Christ are all about. That is what the truth of Christ is all about. Christ Himself, our Lord, our Savior, Christ Himself is the rock upon which you and I have chosen to stand. It's an awful moment. I've seen it through my life. When a seeking person begins to find that the props, the foundation on which it has blindly rested so long, indeed, are rotten through time. When people begin to discover the nothingness of tradition, and in that horrible insecurity begins also the doubt where there is anything to believe in at all. And you know what my experience is? When people reach that moment, when they come to the end of their own wits, you know what's the first thing they say? I'm sure there cannot be a God. If all this happens in my life, where is God? Our friend, the foundation is there. Did you realize it? And when people discover the rock, And when they make their unsteady steps onto that rock, I've seen changes taking place. I've seen drunkards rise and become victorious, never ever to fall back again. I've seen sinners who lived in a life of sin, standing up, standing out, becoming witnesses of the Savior, of the Lord of this world. And I've seen life changed. I've seen people leaving their shoddily built little foundations and re-anchoring themselves on the rock of ages. Because that is the biblical term for Christ often used. He is the rock on which we stand. And the implication is obvious. His truth is the one foundation upon which we can build our lives. The one truth that will never change. That is always true. It will never vary. It will never shift like the desert sands. When I was introduced to Jesus Christ a lifetime ago, many things have changed in my life, but the message of my Savior never ever changed. I did, but my Savior never ever changed. Jesus Christ, says Scripture, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And resting upon this foundation, we shall stand secure when the winds and rains and floods of error, of fear and doubt and self-reproach beat upon us. In faith, we shall stand on a rock. Even when we sometimes tremble, we know for sure the rock will never tremble. It was so amazing when I came up A1A this morning through Cape Canaveral, and I always do that. I read the signs of the different churches to see what do they have on today. When I passed the Presbyterian Church, I looked up and I thought, what? Because this morning their sign says, follow Jesus and you will never get lost. And I thought, my, oh my, don't we think alike for this day? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen.